Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Merloni and Fourier.
You know, sometimes we argue and we have the most intense disagreements with the ones that we love. That shows that we care.
I would love some makeup sex Sunday in the form of 37-10 Patriots.
Nice. Wouldn't that feel good?
Phase one of Christian's master plan is complete.
This is so doable. All right. Realistically, 4-1 is achievable.
They better start changing some things.
The Patriots blow out the Jets, but can they go 3-1 and make Fourier sound like a football genius?
Teams that are undisciplined are coached by undisciplined coaches.
And the Red Sox season no one saw coming is officially Dunski.
When you feel good about them, they suck. When you think they're done, they come back. This is the Red Sox of 2021.
It's Lou.
Turn this thing up!
It's Christian.
Farm animals? Anybody into farm animals?
It's Merloni and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, fourth and final hour here, Merloni and Fourier. Yes, the New England Patriots. 3-4 after a big win against the Jets, 54-13. 54 points. They score in 9 of 10 possessions. So there's a lot to feel good about in this game, right? The Patriots went out there and they took care of business. So there's a lot to feel good about.
Baby, we're back.
Right, Christian?
Oh, man, we are so back. Oh, boy, man, look out, NFL. The Patriots are coming for you. They figured it all out. I am very happy for the win. I feel great about it. Good job. Good job. I feel like one of those teen movies where I stand up.
You don't
up.
Seem very excited about
awesome.
This.
You start clapping.
Something. Yeah, that's it. Good job, guys. Good job. High five. Mike White is so devastating. Oh, he's intimidated. That defense, they're pretty good. Robert Saleh, boy, gas and brake. No gas. All gas, no brake. All gas,
no brake. Get used to the mantra, all gas, no brake.
Oh, my God. That team is so horrible. Every time somebody describes this game, Lou, they always this win, they follow it with, oh, yeah, now I get it. It's the Jets. Oh, it is the Jets. But it's a win. I know it's the Jets. Almost like dismissing the win entirely. Oh, they got a win. I know it's the Jets.
I don't.
Like, even people who are happier than me and, are trying to somehow, convince themselves that all their problems are fixed. It's just a stay of execution. Like, they haven't proven to me at all that they fixed their issues that they had over the first 6 weeks. Okay, yeah, listen. Nobody got a punt blocked. Woo-hoo-hoo! Hey, that's capital. They didn't turn it over. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is awesome. Oh, my God. Did you see that, man? Oh, my God. This is great. Hey, they scored 54 points. They scored 54
Listen,
points.
I'll say this.
Please clap.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to start it off with this.
This is awesome.
I'm going to start it off with this.
Oh, my God.
I'm never
going to
say it again.
The Super Bowl, man.
I'll start it off.
Super Bowl.
I don't want to say it again, but yes, it was against the Jets.
Again. So.
However.
Done ski.
However.
Conversation is over.
However.
You're outing yourself already.
No, listen. When we talked about this game.
You know what it is.
We looked at week two. And we sat there and said, yeah, you won 25-6. They outgained you. They had more first downs than you. They had better time possession. They were better than you on third down. Like, they threw the ball better than you. They ran the ball better than you. They just threw the ball to you four times. So, it was 25-6, but we were sort of looking at it going, was it really that impressive? And then you had the Houston win, when a bad football team, and you went down there and won that game. We're like, okay, I guess the most important thing is a W, but it doesn't make you feel any better. They finally made a bad team look really bad.
Yeah.
And I didn't think they were really capable of that, Christian. I really didn't.
Yeah.
Like, offensively, they moved the ball up and down the field, and I'd say it's a couple weeks coming now. You know, because I look at that Dallas game, you came out right away the first two drives, 14-7. You scored a third touchdown at Jacoby Myers that got called back because of a penalty on Ferentz holding. And then what happened? Then all of a sudden it was the Gregory that just smoked Mac Jones and you fumbled. And it sort of, I don't know, put some doubt in your mind offensively, the protection or whatever. But they were rolling at that time. And they were rolling here again. And I ain't going to say who they played again. Because I already said they played the Jets. No, I ain't going to say it again.
Don't say it then. No. Just give them credit for the win. It's an NFL team. They beat an NFL team.
They beat them 54 to whatever it was. 13. Yeah. Yeah. They dominated a bad football team. And good for them because I didn't think they were capable of it. There's a lot of good stuff in this game.
So, you know, the crazy thing when you start looking at, like, their – this is how bad the team is. Like, the Jets are like – so the Patriots, their red zone or their points per game or something, like, jumped like something crazy. Like, they were like –
they scored 54. It should.
They scored – I know. So, it starts – when you start looking at, like, stats that matter and, like, what to expect, I mean, this team is so bad. I mean, I get it. They scored a 9 of 10 possessions. I get it. They were really good the entire game. But this is just – this is a team that you – good. You should beat them. You should feel good about yourself. And you should build some confidence. And you should feel good about your chances going into L.A. to play the Chargers. Like, yes, this is what you've done. You have – now, I don't know if this is just a facade. I don't know if this – are we just, you know, just putting a new fresh coat of paint, you know, over the problems and, like, acting like they don't exist anymore. Offensively, I feel like there's no limitations for this offense. Like, that to me is kind of, even in a loss against Dallas, I feel like the offense.
Throwing the ball.
Just everything.
Yeah.
I think things that are real improvements. The offensive line has 1 week where they only had one moving part. Like, everybody else is a constant. Now, how many more opportunities are you going to get to play with that group that was out there yesterday? How many more opportunities are you going to get? Hopefully three or four more where you actually have some consistency. Now, you're going to run the ball on the Chargers because they're the worst rush defense in the NFL. Their secondary, their pass defense is middle of the road. So you'll have the same type of opportunities, same game plan, I'll say, like, that you had yesterday that you will against the Chargers. But they haven't proven anything. So the only way this win is worth it is if you do something with it, is if you go beat the Chargers. Like, that's it. Otherwise, what do you have? Three wins against the three worst teams in the NFL.
Well, you're the one that said they, okay, so they need to go 4-1.
Yeah.
I think we all agree the Chargers may be the toughest team they have to play, given the state of the Cleveland Browns, even though their offensive line's intact and they can still run the ball, and they looked okay last week. So you say if they lose to the Chargers, then it's all for naught. But if they win the next three, you're right back on your 4-1 claim.
Yeah, this is
then
how
you're right kind of where you need to be, right?
Yeah, so this is how misleading it's going to be moving forward. So all these other teams, all these defensive players that are looking at the scattering report right now and go, oh, my God, this Pats offense, they're 11th in the league in points scored. Oh, my God, 11th? Wow, that's pretty good. Okay, well, they jumped from 23 in points scored to 11th. Why? Because guys like Brandon Bolden had 78 yards receiving. I mean, that to me, if you think about things that don't make sense, that's like, you know, more than he's had in five of his last eight seasons. He doesn't get yards catching the football.
Yeah. No, I know. He had a lot of space to run in this one. By the way, this hour, Maloney and Forey, brought to you by Audi of Norwell. Here's the reason why, and also in about, seven minutes or so, we're going to replay the Mac Jones interview we had at 2:30. Interesting stuff there, people calling him a dink and dunk quarterback. He had some interesting comments about that you're going to want to
hear. Oh, he's not happy about it.
The reason why I look at this game differently is because I think offensively there are some guys on this team that desperately needed a boost in confidence. And I don't care who it was against. But Jonnu Smith, like, he had to go home feeling better about himself.
After he got hurt?
Well, okay, he's hurt. He came out of the game. We'll see if he gets going. What I'm saying is, like, after the game, as far as just new guys in an organization, young players in an organization that have come here for the first 6 weeks and have been extremely inconsistent. You know, Aguilar catching that touchdown pass in the first quarter is like, okay, I didn't completely screw up that game against Dallas. Or at least I did, but now I'm doing something positive to help this team. You know, and then you look at Jonnu Smith. I have been a ghost for how long now? At least they got me involved. I feel like I'm part of this team. Guys like Damian Harris, who's been fumbling the ball in the red zone, had a clean game, ran for two touchdowns, over 100 yards. Taylor, who's been fumbling for this team, ran for two touchdowns. You know, guy like Mac Jones, you know, finally winning a game at home. Hunter Henry continuing to do what he's doing. Kendrick Bourne, another good game from him. This is, to me, a team that desperately offensively needed some confidence. A bunch of new faces, young and old. And I felt like this game here, I don't care who you're playing, you go home feeling better about yourself, that the work is starting to pay off. And now, okay, now let's go play the Chargers. That's a real test. There's no question about it. But it's a good confidence game for this team that I think offensively needed it with some individuals.
Yeah, see, to me, this, I feel like, you know, fans and the team in general. I've never seen him happier. I get it. It was a blowout. Like all, it seems like all your problems disappeared. And then you wake up in the morning, you're like, all right, you know, like, okay, they're still there. You haven't been consistent enough in enough games to prove to anybody that everything is fixed. Like all those things that we saw the first 6 weeks of the season were just, we were just figuring it out, right? Gerard Mayo, oh, it takes us a while to get going. Troy Brown, all those guys basically saying the same old thing. To me, it seems like, you know, well, okay, you're so desperate and so needy for anything positive that no matter what it is, no matter how shallow it is or how weak it is, like you'll take it because we need anything. So I felt better about the loss against the Dallas Cowboys than I do about the win against the Jets, personally.
Huh.
I do. Because, listen, Zach Wilson gets hurt. He's out.
Yeah, he sucked okay. before you
they have there. A backup quarterback that comes in that is actually never taking a snap in a regular season game in his life. He actually wasn't even bad. I mean, hell, that one interception that Duggar got White was throwing to Ryan Griffin, the tight end for the Jets. If he hits that pass, I mean, we actually may have a ball game.
No.
We may have a ball game.
It's a blowout central the whole time.
I feel like they're coming back.
Blowout central.
Listen, I'm telling you, there are things when you have over 500 yards of total offense, I'm kind of like, do I even chalk this one up? I throw out the best game.
So you feel better about giving up over 500 yards of total offense?
You know why? You know why they
should? Like you did to Dallas.
Because that game, like when I look at that game against Dallas, I'm like, it's just all those things. That's the true identity. Guy dropping a ball. Nobody was under stress in this game.
Well, no,
I would agree. There was no crazy circumstances in this game. This was easy.
That's okay. That's fine.
I'm not saying it's not hard to do, but ultimately there was no stressful circumstances.
That's your next step, right? Now it's like, because let's face it, there's the close games. You continue to do things. You know, that help you lose these games rather than go out there and help you win. So, of course, you're going to be in a tougher game against the Chargers. We all know that. And is that the game where, you know, you don't have a punt blocked? Is that the game we don't have a huge penalty to call back a touchdown? Is that the game where you don't just penalties and turnovers and sloppy play and that we've been seeing for like 6 weeks at times? You know, do they start to clean it up? You know, I just feel like they were in a no-win spot with the Jets this week because everybody felt like they should have won.
Yeah.
If they had won by a field goal or 7 points or 10 points, we'd be sitting there saying, it's the Jets. They suck. But they beat them 54-13.
They beat the Titans. They beat the Titans. They have a signature win. You don't have a signature win. So even then, I sit there and go, well, listen, they coming off a bye week, and they played like crap. And then they miss a field goal. They go for it on fourth down. They don't get it. And right off the bat, next thing you know, it's 21-0. Like, they completely put themselves in a hole. Then Zach Wilson gets hurt. Then here comes Mike White, you know, and then you score your first five possessions, and the game is over.
Yeah.
The game's over. So it wasn't even competitive. So my thing is, like, this team, do they really believe that they can win? To me, it's a little bit like wins like this for bad teams, it's just a stay of execution. It's just a facade because you haven't won a game of any sort of merit. Like, you haven't beaten a team.
So next week is it?
Yeah, this week.
Yeah, this
game
week.
Against the Chargers.
Is it?
Who are also coming off a bye.
And a bad loss.
And a loss. Who did they lose to? They lost to Baltimore.
Baltimore smoked
Baltimore,
them.
Yeah, just destroyed them. Listen, they I still think they can win. They should be able to beat this team. A rookie first-year coach, a second-year quarterback that was the MVP last year. Lots of weapons. Their defense is, they're not a great defense. They got some players sprinkled around, but they're not a great defense. Yeah,
and I do look at, you know, the offensive line pumping Owenu out to that right tackle, and Karras was at left guard, and part of me just is like, well, what took you so long? Like, why did you waste 5-6 weeks of trying could juice?
Yeah, they didn't have any choice.
Or Durant.
Though.
What do you mean? Why not?
Well, because think about that.
What's
one
different?
Week. The week against Houston, they had, first of all, they had some injuries. They were only moving one guy.
And Wynn were out.
They had four of the five were constants. And then you had the COVID scare that knocked those guys out when they went to Houston. They get that win. And then they come back and they play Dallas, and now everybody's coming back, and then they're rotating their tackles. Probably a mistake.
Well, I'm just
they probably
saying,
like, just left it alone. Like,
take away the COVID week where you lost to Wenu and Wynn. But you even said week one. You know, Trent Brown goes down 7 plays into the game, and fine, you don't want to switch and just move 1 place during the middle of the game. Don't mess with your whole line in the middle of a game. But the following week, you came back, and it was like, you know, no, Wenu's standing left guard. He's not going out to right tackle. And they're going to try Durant and Kajust and all these guys, and you're like, okay, Haran. And then for 3 or 4 weeks, they did this. And it wasn't working. And then they had COVID, right? But like, and so now, finally, week seven, the guy that played white right tackle last year and looked pretty good at it finally goes out to right tackle and you have a game. I don't care who the hell it's against. Like, to me, it's like he's your right tackle. Period. End of story. And if Trent Brown comes back, Wynn goes to left guard. Probably where we should be. You know what I mean? And I know it's a $10 million guard, but it's like Trent Brown should probably be your left tackle. Mm-hmm. I just wonder what the hell took so long to put a Wenyu. Forget about the COVID week, all the other weeks. They had it for a while, and they just never made that move.
Yeah, no, listen, it is a great win. It is very impressive. Okay, have a great week.
Yes.
Everybody's happy.
Yes, including Mac Jones.
And most importantly, Mac
very
Jones.
Happy Mac Jones. We talked to him earlier today at 2:30. This is our interview with the quarterback of the New England Patriots, Mac Jones. Conversation with Mac Jones is brought to you by Mass General Cancer Center, every day amazing, and by Northeast Men's Health, the expert in men's sexual health at northeastmenshealth.com. All right, joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline is Mac Jones. Mac, how you doing? Lou and Christian here.
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good.
We are doing well. That one had to feel pretty good, huh? Kind of waking up, nice easy W.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, did you feel like you were running up the score, like you were back in Alabama, you're running up the score on Vanderbilt?
No. I don't make any comparisons, but I think it just goes to show that when we all work together and 11 guys are doing their job, it just the results come. So I think that's just the moral of the story. And it was a lot of fun, and it was just a good day for us. So we just got to continue to do that and stack some more days.
So I'm concerned for you, uh-oh, Mac. I'm a little concerned because this is your happy voice I'm hearing. Is this your happy voice? We just stomped the Jets. I figured I'd get a little bit more, energy from you today, like after that beatdown, which was impressive.
Yeah, I mean, feels good. I don't think I have a sad voice or a happy voice, but I'm here back at work, and we're all working out and getting ready. So
it looked like early on you guys were really making an effort to get Jonnu Smith going here. You know, early in the year there was a game we had some drops and maybe he wasn't as highly involved. Was that sort of like a game plan, or was it just the way it worked out?
Yeah, I think it was just the way it worked out, and there's plays in the playbook for everybody, and Jonnu made some really good plays early on, and we got to see his speed in the open field. I mean, he's really, really fast, as we all saw. So I think there'll be plenty of plays like that to be had, and it all starts with just the communication and knowing when your play is coming and then executing it when it comes. So it's anybody can get the ball on any play, and you just got to be ready to go.
You know what? Another game, another bunch of catches for Jakobi Meyers, and no touchdown for Jakobi. Do you guys realize that his dad is like at all these games, just like hoping and praying that he gets
videotaping every play
to see if his son gets a touchdown? You guys aware of that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't pay attention to all that, but I think Jakobi. I mean, we almost had one yesterday, and the guy ended up holding him, and I was pissed because I was like, that would have been a touchdown right there. But it'll happen, and I don't think Jakobi's going to change because he hasn't scored or anything like that. He plays really well. Whatever play is called, he's running his job, and he's blocking too. That's another thing. In the run game, he's physical, and he's a team player, so he doesn't necessarily care, and it'll come. And we can't force it, but it'll definitely come, and his dad will hopefully get on video. So
yeah, he's got to go to LA now, because God forbid he's at he misses the one game where he gets it.
He can't miss it.
You got to put him on that team plane.
Yeah,
see if he can make that happen.
All right, we're talking to Mac Jones. Mac, you guys, I think came into the game, I don't know, right around like ranked 30th, I think, in red zone scoring, but 6-for-6 yesterday. What was the biggest difference yesterday?
I think just the point of emphasis on executing when we get down there, and I mean, you can't overemphasize it, but there's to a point where you need to know, hey, we're in the red zone. Time to kind of flip the switch here. We knew we weren't great in the red zone, so we wanted to do better. And, you can't force it, but I think we just played the plays and did what we were supposed to do, and that's how it works. So we saw, good results yesterday, but we got to continue to do that. It's not a one-time thing. So we'll just continue to harp on it, and the things, other things we need to get better at, we'll get better at. So it'll be a new week, and we'll continue to work on our red zone too. So,
are you guys seeing more opportunities to take shots down the field? I feel like you guys, the last two games especially.
Yeah, I think just Josh does a good job calling really good plays, and My job is to execute them, and obviously sometimes it's maybe a shorter pass and sometimes it's deeper, but I just do whatever I'm supposed to. And, you know, the guys, there's multiple guys open on, it seems like, every play. So I just need to find the best one who can get the most yards. And, you know, whether it's short or long, it doesn't really matter. Just definitely wish I connected on some of the longer ones that maybe I overthrew or whatever. But it's all timing and game day. You know, sometimes you hit them, sometimes you don't. But you just, in practice, you focus on it. And I think it's just part of the game.
I think it was actually the Jets play-by-play guy, Rex Ryan. They keep calling you a dink-and-dunk quarterback. So when you hear that, does that piss you off? Do you think you're a dink-and-dunk quarterback?
No, I think it's great. Just move the ball as best you can. And some of the best quarterbacks do that really well. So as long as you're taking a profit, you can't go broke. So just continue to do that. And whatever the play call is, the line's been giving me plenty of time. So I don't really pay attention to any of that stuff. And people have said that about me for a long time. So I'm just going to continue to do what I do and continue to be a good teammate and continue to get the ball to our skill players.
Are you getting a little irritated with Josh McDaniels allowing all these receivers to throw touchdown passes?
No, I think.
Come on, be honest. Like, they're taking. No.
Well, see, Mac, there's some history here because Christian, being like a tight end, Mike Vrabel kept stealing all his touchdowns.
This is not true.
So he doesn't like seeing these sort of things being shared.
Yeah, I think it's great. It adds like a third element to the game, and it makes it a lot of fun just to see those guys having fun, and you know the celebrations after are always the best because it's like. Even yesterday, KB threw a touchdown. It was just crazy. But, yeah, I think it's good, and hopefully we'll have some more, but I'm not going to give anybody's trick plays away or anything like that. So, so we just have to wait.
So speaking of tight ends and, you know, yesterday being National Tight End Day, you actually did throw a little quick little nice little stick nod to Hunter Henry. And afterwards, I don't know what you were doing. I feel like you were doing something with your hand. Like I was gesturing something. What? And I saw you do it. Like you ran up to him. Then I felt like you did it on the side. Like, what? Can you tell us? Can you share what that's about?
I don't know if I can. It's kind of an inside secret.
Come on, listen. It's just us. It's just Lou and I.
It's Victory Monday.
Yeah, it was a funny thing that happened around the facility. We kind of have a joke going around, so we'll keep it to ourselves. But.
All right.
Nothing bad. It's just all fun and games.
Hey, Mac, during the game, I think at one point someone let us in on your pregame meal, even for a 1 o'clock game. Is it steak and eggs with spaghetti? Is that true?
Yeah.
8 a.m.?
Yeah.
Is that every game, or is that like a timing thing, like early morning, that's what it is? What if it's a night game? Is it still steak and eggs and spaghetti?
Yeah, it's always the same thing, regardless of the kickoff. Same thing in college, just getting into a routine, and I've eaten that at 6 in the morning before 11 o'clock games in college, so it's just part of the routine that I've gotten into, and yeah, so it just kind of gets your mind ready, and it's nothing crazy. I think it's a pretty simple meal. So,
do you feel like, one, you have a really good understanding on how things work with this offense, and do you guys as a group feel like you're starting to figure it out? As far as where everyone's supposed to be and how things are supposed to work?
Yeah, I think it's, like I always say, an everyday thing. And that is a good point about we just have a lot of new guys. And at this point in the season, we really aren't considered new anymore. I mean, we've been in a bunch of games together, and I feel like we're definitely gelling. But we do have a long way to go. And, you know, it's just the start of the whole deal, and we just got to continue to grow and practice. And I think that is a good point to recognize that there is progress being made, and we just can't be satisfied with where we're at all. Obviously, we're still hungry, and we just got to come in and work every day. And when we practice really well throughout the week, then it translates to the game most of the time. So I think it just goes back to practice.
Is this the happiest you've been so far as a pro after this game?
Yeah. I mean, it's great to win in the NFL, and you know, as long as we're scoring more points than the other team, it's a great day. And I think we played just all around great football as a team. And we just got to continue to do that. And, you know, yesterday is yesterday and today is today. So
2-4 start wasn't what you're looking for. You're now 3-4. But do you ever just at a moment sit back and just sort of look at the rest of the AFC? It's not like, you know, 5-2, 3-4, 4-3. It just seems like everybody's right there. So as much as you didn't get that good start that maybe you wanted, do you ever just look around and say, okay, we're okay?
Yeah, I think just focusing on what we can control and not looking at results is hard. And I think we all agree that some of the games could have gone a different way and all that, but it's part of the game. And like I said earlier, we just got to, you know, score more points than the other team. It's really that simple. And if we continue to do that, then good things will happen. But I think it's more process and doing things the right way throughout the week and continuing to come together and communicate in meetings and on the field and just talking things out to where we feel even more comfortable every week.
Okay, Mac, it's time for the quarterback question of the week, sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in men's sexual health with locations in Dedham near Legacy Place and in Salem, New Hampshire, or online at northeastmenshealth.com. So yesterday we saw that Bill, your coach, and Matt Patricia were kind of hanging out after the game, drinking a cold one. I think Matt Patricia had a Corona. I think Bill had, a Budweiser. Okay, so curious, you know, does Mac Jones, you know, after a win, does he partake in a frosty beverage? And if he does, what is his drink of choice?
No. I usually just honestly go home and hang out with my family, eat some dessert. I definitely get a little dessert after the game. But, yeah, everyone has their own way of celebrating, and I don't think it's right or wrong to do one thing or the other. But for me, I just try and get home and to do it with my family, be with my girlfriend and my puppy.
What's your favorite dessert then, if we're going with dessert?
It has been chocolate chips for a long time, but my new thing is like the mochi balls. Is that how you pronounce it?
Mochi balls?
But they're like mochi. Yeah, there you go.
Oh.
It's like the rice balls with ice cream in them. They're so good. So
ooh.
I've been eating.
Okay.
To try those.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, we can't, flavors. You know, we can't let you go. Complete thrashing of the New York Jets. What's your first entry into your improvement journal?
Yeah, after watching the film and stuff, I think just taking actually what I did well and just emphasizing that, you know, in terms of just not making any bad plays and, like, not letting them touch the ball. Like I said, versus Houston, I felt like they touched the ball too much. And, yeah, there was times yesterday, I think maybe once or twice it was close, but that was definitely improvement. And then I'm going to continue to work on my feet and, you know, just standing in there and delivering the ball on target. But there's not anything crazy from this week. I think there's definitely a few things here or there from an offensive standpoint that we'll improve on together. But that's how it is every week. So we're ready to go.
All right. Looked pretty fast on that one run. So well done. Well done. Listen, good job thrashing the Jets 54-13. It's always good to do that in Jets week. And good luck next week against the Chargers. Thanks for joining us, Mac.
Thanks. See you.
All right, that's our conversation with the quarterback, Mac Jones. When we come up next, you look at this AFC picture. The Pats are 3-4, but it is all just jammed up. Are you starting to believe that this team could be a playoff team? We'll discuss it next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there
there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, welcome back to Maloney and Flory, the New England Patriots, with an impressive victory over the New York Jets. Yes, Christian, they were the Jets. I get it. You now sit 3-4. And the reality is you've beaten the Jets twice in Houston.
Oh, yeah. Thank God for the Jets.
Two teams that I think are combined at -134 in point differential. However,
two wins between them both.
It was still an impressive win.
Yeah.
You still made a bad team look really, really bad.
Sure did.
And in this league, it's still a good thing to do. Because sometimes you don't see. Look at the Rams. They struggle with the Detroit.
A little bit.
Lions over the weekend a little bit. So it's just one of those things. So you said they need to go 4-1. They now need to go 3-1.
That's it.
The biggest thing for me is when you look at the AFC, there's four teams. Jets, Jacksonville, Miami, and Houston are out of it. 1 through 12. 5-2 and 3-4. Like that's the spread. One through 12. You know, and it's not like the NFC where you've got six teams, so Arizona 7-0, everyone else is 6-1. This to me, like, there's no difference between some of these teams. I still think Buffalo is the class, and we'll see eventually if they are in the AFC. But you could see Cincinnati, you know, losing to Cleveland, or, you know, Pittsburgh beating Cincinnati, or you know, all the way up here. Tennessee losing to a team like the Chargers, or even Denver. You know, it's just 1 through 12, and sitting there at 3-4, like, I thought 10 wins, I wasn't sure 10 wins got you in the postseason. I'm starting to think now 9 might, because they're going to beat up on each other. 9 might get you in.
Yeah, and then the extra game, so no more 16 regular season games. You got 17. So all those stats and numbers that people are throwing out there as far as, you know, teams that finish 3-4, that start 3-4. And
15% of them.
15% chance of making the playoffs.
140 teams, right? Since
yeah, 140 teams. And so the average final record of those 140 teams that start 3-4 is 7-9. The only team to actually go to win the Super Bowl by starting 3-4 was your 2001 New England Patriots. They started 3-4. Now, not even going there. But the reality is that they have just as good a chance as any of those other teams in like the middle, like that, call it the dirty dozen middle or whatever it is, other than the three or four teams that I think are elite. And not even elite, because if you look at the NFC, their elite teams I think are better than your elite teams. The Tampas, the Green Bays, the Arizonas. Who else? Who am I missing? I would even say, you know, yeah.
Dallas.
Dallas. Forgot about Dallas. And your elite teams are what?
I mean, Buffalo? Is it Cincinnati?
Tennessee? The Raiders?
Vegas?
Yeah, those are
Baltimore?
Yours. I think it's to me, I think the NFC is the class. They have a higher end class as far as I'm concerned, as far as what levels they can reach. So, yeah, I do think they still have a chance to make the playoffs, but this, they need to pad their lead now. Okay. It was the next five games. So they got one out of the five. They got four left. Can they win three out of the four? Because the next three games after that, or the games at those are the ones you're like, oh crap. Good luck. You're probably going to chalk every single one of those up to a loss.
Well, I think it gets difficult. And you're talking about this stretch that you had to go 4-1. It ends with Atlanta, and then it turns into, you know, Tennessee, Buffalo, Indy, Buffalo. That's your next four.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to get to that point, you may need to go 3-1 and hope that you can split those four games. Those are not going to be easy. You know, we're talking about winning the home games. Cleveland, Tennessee, Buffalo, Jacksonville. That's what you got left. 9 home games. You're already, you know, 1-4, and you still got Cleveland, who, you know, granted, a lot of guys are hurt, but they still got that offensive line they're running behind. Tennessee, Buffalo, those aren't going to be easy home games.
So, realistically, I think if you're going to make the playoffs, you're either going to be 10-7 or 9-8.
I think 9-8's got a shot of getting in. I think 10 wins right now in this AFC, I think it gets you in. Let's go to John in Maine. John, what's going on?
Hey, fellas. Just a question real quick. If this team does go on to beat the Chargers, at that point, do we start looking at this football team as a good team opposed to a bad team, how we have been looking at them over the first 7 weeks? No?
No.
Well, I want to know why, because I still think this last win means something, even if they don't win next week.
Well, I will say this. So I need some sort of track record, some sort of history of, you know, of overcoming adversity. Like, you know, that you've gotten killed by that. Like, so the Saints are 3-2. You lost to them. You couldn't get off the field. They had a long drive, almost 89 yards, something like that, and they end up winning the game because you can't get off the field. Same thing with the Miami Dolphins. So if you can be 500 or a game above 500, then I would say, all right, you're on your way.
See,
on your way. But
you know, if they beat the Chargers in Sandy in L.A., sorry, you don't think that they would – you then – look at them as maybe a good team?
I would say no. I mean, it's like, it's still, what have they done?
They made a bunch of mistakes.
They beat one good team.
Yeah.
They beat one good team. I need somewhat of a track record. I can't just have the beating down the Jets twice and the Houston Texans.
What if they beat the Chargers?
Okay, so fine. Okay, I'm still saying
you're both, you know, 3 or 4, whatever, 4-4, and they're whatever. And
then you'll have the Browns in there.
5-4-3.
You beat the Chargers and the Browns, we got business. Browns are a good team.
Yeah.
The Browns are a good team. Browns got a lot of talent, okay? But they made the playoffs last year. So I would say
is Mayfield playing? Case Keenum looked okay, but
I don't think Chubb is playing. I think they run the ball regardless of who's back there, and they run it well. And you're not great at stopping the run.
All right. Well, I wanted to mention this here earlier today too, because over the weekend, I know a lot of you guys were aware that on Saturday night, Bob Neumeier passed away. His wife had said that it was a congestive heart failure, heart disease. 70 years old. Everybody in this area knows Bob Neumeier. You've seen him. You know, I used to call the Bruins before 2020. He was 2000 rather. It was Dale and Newmy. You know, in 2010, I think it was, he came over to NBC Sports or at Comcast at the time. I had worked with him. He had a stroke in 2014, which it seems like so long ago, like it's 7 years ago. But I know when he came back, we did the baseball show together for a couple of years, and Newmy was special. Newmy was just a great man, awesome horse handicapper. I know Mutt always talked about him and the horses, and I used to see him there every single day and you know, simulcast in some races. This guy was like a research monster. We used to do the baseball show together, always joke about, you know, the Bob Neumeier research party with his stats. He always come at me. I got some more stats for you today, Lou. And I had a blast with him for a couple of years, and 2 or 3 years, I think, on the baseball show, working with him and just breaking down numbers. It was an honor to work with him. I know NBC, I mean,
CBS. WBZ.
Yeah, BZ did an unbelievable video of that breakdown of the Doug Flutie, Bernie Kosar game in Miami, where it was just, you talk about like telling a story, like that breakdown of that game, almost like as it was going on. And at the end of it was just an absolute classic. And that was Bob Neumeier. And I think you've heard a lot of people talk about him over the weekend. A lot of times people are like, oh, yeah, so-and-so passed, and you just throw something on Twitter. But there was a lot of feeling behind it. Bob Lobel was outstanding on that piece as well. He just goes back a long time. And if you're in sports in this area, if you're a fan, if you're a kid like me, and then got into the media and able to work with him, it was just an honor from day one because he was a special man. And at 70 years old, he's going to be missed.
How much did you – I mean, I'm sure you consumed a lot of, you know, sports, you know, segments, you know, growing up here, right?
Bob Lobel.
Yeah, I mean, those two guys.
This is like what it was. You know what I mean? Those two guys. It was just – they were sports, you know. So it was just – it was fun. I just had fun being around him. I really did love talking to him about, like, some horses because I didn't really – know it as well as he did. Not many people do, but he just sort of lit up when he started talking about it. And the same thing with like baseball, because it was all stats, it was all numbers, it was all research. He did the research, and you know, Lou, I don't know if these numbers mean anything, but this is what I found. This is what I got. You tell me. So it was just a blast working with him and talking sports with him. It really was.
For me, it was what, you know, I didn't work with him like at all. Actually, covered me when I played here, but when I retired from the NFL and started working my way into the media. I think I always felt it was like, you know, the older guys that weren't intimidated, that were comfortable in their own skin, were more approachable and were more helpful, like would give you honest, you know, advice and guidance on your career, what to do, what not to do. Because I think the first time I ever met you was up at Comcast. At the time, I want to say it was like FX or Fox or something like that.
Oh, yeah, it's been like 14 different names.
Yeah, it was like forever.
Sportsnet?
Yeah, it was something like Sportsnet or something.
Oh, Comcast, Sportsnet, yeah.
Something like that. And
And I remember I met him there, like one day just sitting in the bullpen, just hanging out, you know, in those little office areas and sitting here just chatting with him. And just always just a great guy, obviously. And then you see him, you know, see everybody around town. You see him at different events and you just don't even talk sports. You just talk life. And so for me, it was just really sad when I heard about it early Sunday morning doing the WBZ, you know, pregame show with Steve. Steve told me before anybody even knew.
I didn't know anything until like Sunday night because it was like 8 o'clock. My kid had baseball all day on Sunday. You know, so I came back and I'm watching the Pats and everything else. And I'm just sort of looking and I was like, holy Jesus. You know, I get a text from a buddy of mine. You know, that's kind of, you know, on Twitter, he sees it. And it was just like, man, because it was, Numi was special and he's going to be missed. At 70 years old, passed away Saturday night, heart failure, heart disease rather. And it was it's very sad. And I would advise you to go to, I think, you know, all the guys at BZ, Steve Burton, Roche, all those guys. I think
Giza.
Joe Giza, they retweeted like the what they did. I think it's a nice, beautiful, long tribute. I, you know, really go on Twitter, check it out on social media because he deserves it. It's an honor to work with him and he'll be missed. All right, we got last call. It's coming up next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's as ugly as it could get. One thing I can't stand as a coach is to get punked out there, and I felt they basically came out and punked us, outplayed us, played harder than us, all the things we talked about. So, you know, you don't want to overreact and panic, and we're going to stay together and keep our head up. But I said, use these boos as motivation. We deserved it.
Wow, he's booed already.
Coach Ime Udoka. By the way, this hour, Bologna 4, brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. And that was following Friday night's home opener.
Yeah.
In which they did get punked. They lost to an awful rebuilding Toronto Raptor team, 115-83. Celtics committed 25 turnovers. And I think got outscored like 66-36 or something like that in the second half. I mean, it was pathetic. So they rebounded, and they got their win the other night against the Rockets, and now tonight it's the Charlotte Hornets.
Which is like the worst team.
Yeah, another awful team. And tonight it's the Hornets, who are 3-0. Just beat the Nets last night, so they got them in a back-to-back. Actually, Celtics are -2. Does Vegas know that Al Horford's out of this game? That's got to move the line at least 10 points.
How would you not know that?
I mean, how are they still favored without Al Horford?
First person I think of.
Al Horford, Romeo Langford, are out. Starting lineup will be Schroeder and Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Tatum, and Robert Williams. Good news, Jaylen Brown back in there because how are you starting to feel about this? So he sat out the other night because of a little knee soreness.
Patella tendonitis.
Udoka says, no big deal. He's dealt with it in the past. We're not overly concerned. When you really should be. This, if you remember, Jaylen Brown interview in September with Mark Spears on ESPN. Talking about how to improve his game over the summer. He said, I'm more athletic than I was last season. I had knee problems last year that were lingering, and I hope I won't have them this season. Somebody told me I had like 12, probably like 15 dunks in 58 games, something like that, and I'm like, that's not me. So getting back to being athletic, running, just having fun, being a playmaker, having responsibility, different coach, so I'm looking forward to that journey and that process as well.
Mm.
2 games into it, after being out for 10 days of COVID, after the second game, you know, can't play back-to-backs because of knee soreness. Already?
I know.
He even admitted that how it bothered him last year. He wasn't athletic. He's looking forward. Like, three games in, he's already sitting because of the knee?
It's patella tendonitis, obviously inflammation of his patella that it gets irritated, inflamed. And if you don't just get rid of it altogether, it never goes away. It just keeps lingering. You're held back because of it, and you're always in pain. And so, to me, was that enough? Was this just the ultimate precautionary situation early in the season? Let's not get it. Let's not have it be an issue. Listen, the season just started.
He just said 10 days off. He hasn't been running on it. So he went out there. I know double overtime, game one, I get it, and he went nuts.
Yeah, sure.
Game two was a disappointment. And then game three, back to back, you got to sit him. like you said, is it like, you know, we've already been through this, weren't we, with Kemba Walker? And it was like, okay, I'm excited for the offseason to be healthy, to be athletic again. He even admitted the knee was bothering him all year. He didn't like it. And all of a sudden, 3 games in, he's got to sit again.
Listen, I'm not going to overreact like this early as far as, you know, Jaylen Brown dealing with tendonitis. But man, this is not starting well.
No,
can we just say
no,
that? Like,
no.
I mean, as far as like your first home game and then you're getting booed and your coach is like calling you out because you got punked. Like, you don't have any respect at all for your first game with your new coach that you all wanted. Well, you all wanted him.
They doused him yesterday after that win against
Houston.
Big
win against that packed house against Houston. Whoa. Like, you know, I tell you what, Houston packing them in for their home games.
Unfortunately, it's like it's kind of like just continuing from what we saw last year, like a lot in the first 3 games. You know, it's great to hear Tatum talk about wanting to be more of a playmaker and get everybody more involved and take his game to the next level, but it's easy to say. It's tougher to do once you get to the tip-off, right, and be that guy to make everybody better. Tyler, what do you got?
Are you guys Grant Williams believers?
No!
I know Ryan hates
No,
Williams.
I am not.
Well, I mean, so far, yes.
Oh, he's 9 for 12 from 3,
so
right?
So far, yes.
Good for number 2 in the NBA behind Steph Curry, Grant Williams.
No, I'm not that kind of believer, the Grant new Williams, that he's going to be that guy. It's just he's a limited player with a role. He needs to improve his
I don't know that was part of the goal. So Udoka, he went to Udoka and he asked him what he needed to do to play more. He said shoot 40% from 3.
Because he did
be
against him
defender.
When he was at Philly. And he saw how well he shot against
and
him.
That's
and
what
said,
it is.
You can do this.
I don't know how sustainable it is. Let's put
75%.
It that way.
75%. Lock it in. Yeah. He's going to do this all year.
I don't know how sustainable
you don't think he's going to shoot 75%?
Nah,
you know what, Lou, I find a little hard to believe.
No? Probably not. Listen, he overachieved. What do you want me to do?
No Al Horford, get ready. He's going to see a little bit more of him tonight. Robert Williams, like to see him get involved as well. So. It'll be an interesting game here tonight again. Celtics, 2-point favorites down in Houston. All right, let's get the last call. Which is brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or give them a call at 1-877-CARS-4KIDS. All right, our boy Mike Leach. We love Mike Leach, head coach down at Mississippi State. They had a tough game the other day against Vandy and Vandy. They won 45-6.
Yeah, kind of like
Vandy's
the Patriots
pathetic,
and Jets.
Right? Didn't you bring up Vandy with Matt Jones?
Yeah.
Picking on Vandy?
It's like a beatdown. Everybody picks on Vandy.
Vandy's getting beat down. And, of course, post-game, Mike Leach goes where only Mike Leach usually can go.
We talked about on the broadcast how you hate candy corn. What's your favorite Halloween
candy
game?
Corn. I mean, I completely hate candy corn. when I was a kid, well, gummy bears, let's see. Gummy bears for sure.
Sour or regular?
The Haribo. It's got to be the Haribo ones. And then the other thing I like is when they used to have the sprees in a box. Outstanding. You have to go to the dollar store to find it, but I do. And then the latest, there's still candy innovation, although a while back I found that Europe had better candy than we did overall because they have gummy everything. And then, you know, they have those Nerds clusters, which is new.
With the gummy.
Yeah, which is good. The Nerds clusters is good. And then if you go chocolate, probably Almond Joy.
Love it. Hopefully you'll get some of that next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
Ugh, I hate Almond Joy.
Jeez, it kind of breaks it all down. What's your favorite
nasty
candy?
Whatchamacallit?
What?
Oh, my God. No. We're not doing it. We're not doing it, man. No.
It is. That is my favorite.
100 gram bar, milk duds.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Snickers. Very satisfying.
Overrated.
I just like Mike Leach likes gummy bears, but the ones in the gold bag that probably go back about 85 years.
Mike
Leach is a trip. That's his brand.
He is a trip.
They're making a lot of innovations in candy. I don't know if you guys
know. I know candy innovation. Like, he's paying attention to it. And Europe has better candy, really?
There's still candy innovation, although.
Did he actually say Europe's got better candy?
Yeah, the Europe had better candy than we did overall because they have gummy everything.
I don't know. When I think Europe, I don't think candy.
Just because they have gummy everything? Like, I'm sure you can go to some place that's
this
gummy
is
everything
a man
and some candy
that
stores.
Loves gummy and his candy.
Apparently.
But then he goes Almond Joy.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
We got Mutt starting to get ready. No baseball season now. He's got 4 hours.
Oh, man.
Hours, right?
He's got to work full time
now.
No,
he's got a short one today, though. Just a couple hours. Get you ready for Monday Night Football. But then after that, he's got to grind it out, man. Every single night. No more socks. Get ready. Get your sleep, Mutt. You got to get going here. Tomorrow, what do we got? We got Ben Volen in studio. Take a look at this game. See if he's believing or if he wants to crap all over this win like you did, basically, for the 4 hours.
Not really.
No?
I'm just not assuming that, hey, it's all going to be fine and well and, All their problems are fixed. Yeah, that's not it. Happening.
All right. All right. And then, of course, Celtics Hornets tonight, too. We'll take a peek at that one. All right. We're going to see you guys all tomorrow at 2. Have a great night, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.